In the early 1990s, an unassuming Japanese writer began quietly transforming the global literary landscape. While millions worldwide now know Haruki Murakami for his dreamlike narratives and Western-influenced prose, few glimpse the hidden architects of his international success, the translators, editors, and publishers who fundamentally shaped how his work was received outside Japan. This remarkable literary migration wasn't merely about translating words. It was about navigating cultural expectations, commercial realities, and creative partnerships. Murakami's journey from Tokyo jazz club owner to global literary superstar represents one of the most fascinating cultural transmissions of our time. The Murakami that international readers encountered was, in many ways, a collaborative creation, where faithful translation sometimes meant significant transformation, where publishing decisions altered narrative structures, and where the boundary between original and adaptation blurred in service of creating a literary phenomenon that would resonate across cultures. Alfred Birnbaum embodied a Murakami-like character, nomadic and unconventional. His life across Japan, Hawaii, and Mexico City shaped his unique linguistic perspective, blending Japanese fluency with an appreciation for surrealism and Latin American literature. In 1983, after discovering Murakami's short stories, he was drawn to their rare humor and began translating them, including Pinball, 1973. Elmer Luke, a Hawaii-born Chinese-American editor at Kodansha International, proved instrumental in bringing Murakami to American readers. Elmer started the engine, Murakami would later acknowledge. Luke's own journey, from being the sole non-white student at the University of Illinois, through Harvard, and eventually to Japan, gave him unique insight as an Asian-American in Japan. When he discovered Birnbaum's translation of A Wild Sheep Chase, Luke immediately recognized its potential to reach a broader audience. Jay Rubin, Harvard professor and translator, offers a scholarly contrast to Birnbaum's bohemian style. Discovering Japanese literature at the University of Chicago, Rubin developed an approach rooted in academic methodology rather than cultural immersion. He first encountered Murakami's work in 1989 while evaluating Hard-Boiled Wonderland and The End of the World for Vintage. Despite initial skepticism about popular fiction, Rubin found himself captivated by Murakami's imagination. Murakami notes the distinction between his translators. Alfred is more free, Jay is more faithful to the original. Yet Rubin, too, made interpretive choices, as seen in the second bakery attack, where he halved the philosophical opening and omitted culturally specific metaphors. These contrasting approaches, Birnbaum's experimental style and Rubin's measured precision, created multiple entry points for English readers into Murakami's fictional universe. After A Wild Sheep Chase, Kodansha International faced a pivotal choice for their next Murakami release in America. Despite Norwegian Wood being a bestseller in Japan with over 3.5 million copies sold, Luke rejected it as too Japanese and too naive for Western readers. They opted instead for Hard-Boiled Wonderland and The End of the World. Birnbaum and Luke intensified their collaboration, spending hours daily reading passages aloud and refining the text. They cleverly solved the challenge of distinguishing the novel's alternating narrators by using different tenses, past tense for Hard-Boiled Wonderland sections and present tense for End of the World chapters, since Japanese pronouns couldn't be replicated in English. They controversially cut about 100 pages, mainly sexually explicit content, with Luke arguing certain passages might alienate readers. Murakami's response was mixed, accepting some cuts while wondering if Birnbaum had gone too far. The final work was credited as translated and adapted by Alfred Birnbaum with the participation of the author, acknowledging its departure from the original. In September 1990, Murakami achieved a career milestone when The New Yorker published his story TV People, an accomplishment he valued more than any literary prize. His status was further cemented when he appeared in a 1994 Richard Avedon photo feature alongside John Updike and Ann Beattie, marking his arrival in America's literary elite. The New Yorker's editing process revealed cultural translation challenges. Sexual content was modified, literary references shifted to canonical figures, character names were adjusted, and geographical markers were added for American readers. The Murakami's 1991 move to Princeton University, the alma mater of his literary hero F. Scott Fitzgerald, provided an ideal writing environment with its serene campus and running paths. Here, he worked on The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle and South of the Border, West of the Sun. A crucial turning point came in November 1991 when Murakami met Knopf's head, Sonny Mehta, over dinner. By dessert, Mehta had committed to publishing Murakami's work, giving him access to a powerful global publishing network and what he considered the true starting line of his international career. By fall 1992, all of Murakami's novels were available or forthcoming in English. During his Princeton residency, he completed The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle, his most ambitious work yet. He pushed for its English translation before the Japanese serialization ended, signaling his growing international focus. This period saw a key shift in Murakami's translation team. As Birnbaum moved toward Burmese studies, Jay Rubin took on larger projects. The transition aligned with Murakami's evolving writing style, which became more meticulous and complex around 1990. Rubin's translation of The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle took nearly 5 years. The 290,000-word manuscript exceeded Knopf's 125,000-word target for optimal sales. Rubin prepared two versions, complete and abridged. As a new Klopps author, Murakami felt unable to protest the cuts, noting, "When they said it was too long, I told myself it couldn't be helped." The book's presentation featured Chip Kidd's innovative cover design, a wind-up toy bird with bold colors and a clever wind-up key mechanism. The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle became Murakami's breakthrough in Western markets, with critic Jamie James declaring it a bold and generous book that established him as a major figure in world literature. When translator Jay Rubin claims, "When you read Haruki Murakami, you're reading me at least 95% of the time," he reveals how translators fundamentally shape an author's international reception. The global Murakami emerges through his translators, editors, and publishers, from substantial cuts to strategic positioning. Unlike most authors, Murakami controls his English translation rights. Birnbaum sold his at the author's request. This allows Murakami to commission new translations, which he increasingly favors to better serve his established readership. International literary success is inherently collaborative. Translated works represent not just an author's vision, but the creative decisions of those bridging linguistic and cultural boundaries. For Murakami's global readers, these books are transformations existing between cultures and languages. This challenges our notion of authenticity in translation. The Murakami phenomenon suggests that the most faithful translation isn't necessarily the most literal, but one that best conveys cultural contexts and emotional resonances across boundaries.